All right, well, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Psalm 2. This psalm is what we call a messianic psalm. All right, it has to do with the Lord coming back to this earth. It has to do with the second coming of Christ. And it is basically showing the power and what the Messiah is going to do when he returns to this earth. And so that's why they call it a messianic psalm. If you look at verse 1, it says, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord." Now notice that. They take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." I'm going to stop reading right there, and let's pray, and then I want to speak to you this morning a message I'm going to entitle, "The Nations Against God." The Nations Against God. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless. Our Father, we come before you this morning so very thankful for each of these who have followed you in believers' baptism. And Father, we're so thankful for the picture that they showed to us this morning, that they are not ashamed to call themselves the sons of God. They give testimony that they have trusted you as their Savior, and they're trusting you as their only hope to get to heaven. And Father, we rejoice in that testimony. And I pray now, as we open the Word of God, that you will bless in a great way. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that meets with us. And now, Father, I pray that you will bless the message in a great way. Use it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. It is quite obvious that our world today has no love for God. It's very obvious. As a matter of fact, we see so much hatred for God as well as hatred for the people of God. And I trust you have taken a moment to read the From My Heart column in the bulletin this morning. I hope that you have read that, and I hope you'll reread it and just dwell on it and think on it. And we live in a world where the devil is doing everything that he possibly can in his power to control and to destroy and to weaken the nations, as Isaiah said. That's his job, to weaken the nations. His job is to keep men and women and young people out of heaven. And he will fight tooth and nail, do anything he can in order to prevent you from trusting the Lord as your Savior. And that's why the psalmist asked the question, "Why do the heathen rage?" You know, it's kind of strange, isn't it, that the unsaved world just always seems to be in a rage. They just always seem to be in a rage. And it's because Satan is the god of this world, and the devil is doing everything that he can to turn the world away from God. It just amazes me how, just like with Obama's 8 years, that everything this administration touches has become a disaster. I don't know if you've noticed that. I'm sure you have. But everything that they're doing these days just is backwards. It ought to be benefiting the people of America. It ought to be benefiting the world. But instead, it is doing just the opposite. And it was basically the same thing that went on during the 8 years of Obama. And there, you remember, there was that Arab Spring that they said was a wonderful thing, but ended up with thousands and thousands of people getting slaughtered in the streets. It was a disaster for every nation that entered into it. And then there was the whole Benghazi debacle and the release of some of the most evil-hearted terrorists from Guantanamo Bay in exchange for a traitor by the name of Bo Bergdahl. And then there was the nuclear deal with Iran, where America basically gave them a license to build a nuclear weapon, and then funded the weapon by sending $250 billion on pallets in airplanes and giving it to the Iranian mullahs. And folks, I mean, who would have thought that this would ever happen in America? That you would do the exact opposite of what common sense tells you to do, but that's what they did. And now here is this administration undoing every policy that the Trump administration put into place, policies, I might add, which worked, and they're having today the same destructive results that they had during the 8 years of Obama. Now, I said in my column this morning that it's almost like this administration is wanting to destroy our great country. It just seems to me that that's what is going on. Trump had the economy of America humming right along and going great guns, and now we see inflation bring higher everything. Everything is more expensive, and folks, it has only just begun. We have higher gas prices, higher food prices, higher everything. A bunch of us went to Lancaster Friday and Saturday, and we went to, my wife drags me to the same stores. Same ones. We go there every time. Oh, look, this is new. No, it's not. No, they had that when we were here last time. I remember that. Here's what's new. Everything's about $20 higher than what it was. That's called inflation. That's called inflation. And that's what we're seeing. You say, well, why is that happening? That's happening because we are spending trillions of dollars in money that we do not have. We are borrowing money that we do not have. And now they're calling for this infrastructure bill. Well, read the bill. It doesn't do anything for infrastructure. The bill is nothing but a socialist wish list that will assure our nation's destruction from the inside out. In a nutshell, folks, to pay for their spending, what they're going to have to do is raise taxes on everything and everybody, and inflation is just going to continue to skyrocket out of control. The government takes over everything under this infrastructure bill. They take control of everything, and it's not going to work. Now, it's just not going to work. What it's going to do is weaken the nation. Right. Now, in my column, a reason I asked you if you've read it, I mentioned in there how the devil wants to weaken the nations. That's what Isaiah 14 tells us. Thou who didst weaken the nations. That's the devil's job. That's what he's out to do, is to weaken the nations. And if you wanted to weaken a nation, would you do anything different than what this current administration has been doing over the last month, 9 months? I don't think so. No, you would do it exactly the way they're doing it. And folks, that's what the devil wants. He wants us weakened before him. And this psalm is a prophetic psalm having to do with the animosity of the world against God. Satan has so weakened the nations, and over the centuries has turned nations against God in such a sweeping fashion. This psalm shows us what the nations of the earth will do when the Lord Jesus returns in the clouds for his saints and raptures all of his saints up to heaven to be with him. Satan will then rally the nations against the Lord. He will rally the weakened nations who are all one under the leadership of the Antichrist. And he will turn all the nations that he has weakened against God. That's the plan for the devil. Now, notice three things. Number one, I want you to notice the authority in the animosity. The authority in the animosity. Look, if you will, please, at verse 2 once again. And you will notice that the psalmist said, the kings. There's your authority. The kings of the earth and the rulers take counsel together. Right there, folks, is your authority. You've got the kings of this world and the rulers of this world taking counsel against God. The devil is going to need some help in getting the world against the Lord. So notice this animosity towards the Lord is supported by the authority in the nations. First, let me point out the evidence of this animosity. Let's think for a moment of the evidence of this animosity. Oh, we see this so often today, right here in our own country. We see it in the court system. We see it in the courts where the court systems prohibit the mention of God or prohibit honoring God, or they prohibit prayer. I mean, the courts have banned prayer in the public schools. They've banned prayer before high school football games. And what just thrills my soul is that all over the country, there are people in the stands now, and as soon as both teams go out on the field, instead of bowing in honor of Black Lives Matter, they stand up and the kids put their hands over their heart. It was predetermined, and then the parents stand up, and the parents start singing the national anthem. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But we're seeing it everywhere you look. Some schools have banned the singing of the national anthem. They don't want it sung at all. And so the people in the stands, they're just taking it upon themselves in spite of what the authorities say. And it is amazing, is it not, how some egghead will complain if someone says something honorable about God in public, but it is the government who steps in and makes that complaint official. That's true. That's true. back in the 60s, one woman, Madeline Murray O'Hare, one woman sued to get prayer and Bible out of the schools. And the court systems of our land jumped right in and agreed with a crazy woman that God and prayer and the Bible should not be in the public schools of America. And so they were removed. Well, look what that's got us. That's not worked out too well, if you want my opinion. Look at what wonderful schools we have today. I mean, the schools in our cities in America, they have metal detectors at the door. And probably in the country too. They have metal detectors at the doors. Policemen who roam the halls. And our test scores are deplorable all across America. And most governments today are so much against God, they have mandates against soul winning, against witnessing to others in public. They have mandates against what they call proselyting. In other words, you're trying to win somebody to the Lord, and they consider that proselyting, and so they have laws against that. Today, folks, right now, over in Afghanistan, the Taliban are going door to door, torturing and killing anyone who helped America or Britain in the last 20 years. They're going and killing. Now, can you imagine that? Killing people. Cold blood. Sad, isn't it? But that's our world today. And this is really going to fire you up. This administration did was sent a list of all the names and addresses of everyone who helped us. Now, how awesome is that? That's treason. And they go and knock on doors, and these people have enough sense to hide, thank the Lord. But if anybody answers the door and they're not there, they kill them for hiding them. I'm telling you, folks, the inmates are running the asylum. And if this is happening now, can you imagine how the kings of the earth and the rulers of the nations will rally around the Antichrist once the rapture happens and the church is removed from this world? Can you imagine? When there's no Holy Spirit as the salt to hold back corruption. Can you imagine when believers are raptured up and there is no convicting spirit? Because when we go, the Holy Spirit of God goes with us. They all take counsel together to work together against the Lord and against his anointed, his people. Secondly, we looked at, we're looking at the authority. And first, we looked at the evidence of this animosity. But secondly, let's look at the effect of this animosity. You see, the devil just loves to get authority behind his evil schemes and plans. When he gets authority behind what he's doing, that gives more weight and then his work is more effective. But just because the government dishonors God, that does not make it okay. Just because the government says, we don't want you honoring the Lord. Well, there is a power higher than the power. And we're going to obey God. We're going to obey God. Does that make it any more right than if some beggar down on the street corner honors God? Not for a minute. No. Folks, listen, we're a mess in this country. Worldly authority is no match, though, for heaven's authority. Amen. Oh, please realize that. Amen. Please realize that. When a court or a government oppresses its citizens and suppresses the true worship of God or the honoring of God, mark it down, the wrath and the judgment of God will come upon that government or that court sooner or later. Today, groups like the UN have thrown their weight behind governments that blatantly despise God and hate Christianity and hate the Bible and hate Israel and hate the church. They will take a nation today that abuses and persecutes Christians or women or a minority religion or a minority population, and they will put that nation on a panel of nations governing women's rights. Does that make sense?
None
at all. But that's our world today. And the world just sits back and nods their head and say, "Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? We've got an Iranian on the council for women's rights. Isn't that wonderful? Mercy, folks. Their authority, make no mistake about it. Their authority is only earthly. But heaven's authority will eventually win out." And the truth and right will ultimately overcome it. If you look at verse 3 and 4 of this psalm, you will see that the day is coming when all of this animosity and hatred towards God is going to be turned against them. Let me look at verse 5. It says in verse 5, "Then shall he," what's the next word?
Speak.
All right, now. When the Lord comes back, turn over to Revelation for just a moment, and let me show you what the Lord's going to do when he comes back. All right, look at chapter 19. Look at chapter 19. And verse 11, look at it, please. It says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold," now this is the second coming, all right? This is the second coming of Christ. This is when Jesus comes back to defeat the armies of the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon. And so heaven is open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. That's our Savior. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Notice that. He judges and he makes war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now watch this. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of God Almighty. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh, in other words, from here to here, all right? From his shoulder down to his thigh, a vesture and his name written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Folks, when our Savior comes back, you mark it down. This world that has hated God and that has hated the Bible and that has hated the church, this world that has murdered and killed, multiplied millions of believers in Christ, God will get vengeance.
Amen.
That day is coming. That day is coming. God will one day overturn all their animosity against him. Isn't that awesome? All right, that's point one. Number two, notice the agreement in the animosity. All right, notice the agreement. I said to you, first of all, to notice the authority. But now, secondly, notice the agreement in the animosity. You see that little word together in our text? The little word together? Oh my, what an important little word that is. What that is saying is just phenomenal. I mean, it is amazing how the world unites in its hatred and in its animosity towards the Lord. This can often be seen even among groups who despise one another, but yet they will come together and mesh as one in their animosity against the Lord. The greatest agreement among the rulers in this world is their animosity towards God. The powers of this world, they might disagree on many things, but they will come together and agree on one thing, and that one thing is they hate God. Oh, they'll agree on that in a heartbeat. The greatest agreement among rulers is in this area of animosity against God. So the kings and rulers especially agree on their hatred of the Lord Jesus. I mean, it's always been that way. It is amazing how when the Lord Jesus was here, the four Gospels paint us a very clear picture about the organized animosity that the devil stirred up against our Savior coming. When our Lord was born in Bethlehem's manger, that's when it started. The very minute that he came onto the scene as a little tiny baby born and placed in a manger, from that moment on, it was animosity directed toward the Lord. Oh, the devil stirred up the world. I mean, the minute he came into the world, the ruling family of King Herod and his successors began to oppose him, and they started taking action against him. The Herod rulers were hated by the Pharisees and by the Sadducees. They were hated because, first of all, they were not Jews. They were Edomites. They didn't like him for that reason. And then the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't like him because Herods were appointed by the Romans. Well, they didn't like that either. And so these two groups, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes and the priests and the lawyers and all the rest of them in the Sanhedrin, they were all They all hated one another. The Sadducees hated the Pharisees. The Pharisees hated the Sadducees. The scribes hated the priest, and the priest hated the lawyers. I mean, it was just this unending circle of hatred and animosity. But yet, when the Lord Jesus came into this world, all those groups came together to help one another out in their complete and total disdain for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what is even more puzzling to me is how the Sadducees and the Pharisees worked together. Oh, these two groups despised one another. They despised one another. And yet, when it came to focusing on a common interest that they shared with one another, they were more than willing to cooperate in their effort to crucify the Lord Jesus and get him out of their lives. You see, the crucifixion revealed that the rulers of this world were willing to lay aside their feelings of contempt for one another and agree to work together to get rid of their common enemy, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews worked with their mortal enemies, the Romans, and the Romans who despised the Jews were willing to work together if it meant ridding the world of Jesus. And folks, we are seeing the devil once again line up the enemies of God, and we're seeing them more tolerant of each other. We're seeing them line up in an amazing fashion. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. This is not Christian America. This is heathen America. This is not a godly nation. No, sir. No, sir. And God is not the God of America. Satan is the God of this world today. Don't ever forget that. I think that Satan is leading the nations by the nose. I never will forget when we went to the Philippines, when I went to the Philippines the very first time, and there was one of those great big water buffaloes. I'm telling you, that thing's huge. And it had a ring in its nose, a big old ring in its nose. My first impression was, how do you get him to stand still to put that ring in his nose? You know, and I never could get anybody to tell me how they did that. That's amazing, isn't it? And here is this great big buffalo, weighs 20 times more than a man, and it's just wandering around. It's just wandering around. And I thought, why doesn't somebody have a rope on this thing or something? And I asked Brother No-No, I said, how in the world does that thing just wander around? He said, well, they're dumb as a box of rocks, for one thing. And he said, you could just walk up behind it. If you can grab a hold of that ring, that thing will follow you anywhere you want to go. It'll just follow you anywhere you want to go. You grab that ring, put a rope through it, and you can take that thing out in the middle of buzzing traffic if you want to, and it'll follow you because you got it by the nose. And folks, I'm telling you, that's how the devil today has this world. By the nose, leading this world in opposition to the things of the Lord. The nations lining up against God. It simply just doesn't make sense to me, the things that are going on in our world and that all seem to be in lockstep with one another on every issue. Just doesn't make sense to me. They're now trying to get this infrastructure bill through. And folks, listen, that thing's a disaster. It's an absolute, it's a socialist picnic basket. That's what it is. You just open it up and that's all it is. It's just paying everybody everything they can pay them to keep them from working and to keep them from voting any other way than Democrat. It's just that simple. That's what it's all about. It is not going to fix infrastructure in this country. Very little of it goes to infrastructure. Very little. You're talking about $2.5 trillion, folks. I mean, your mind can't even handle that much. When you start thinking about how many bridges $2.5 trillion is going to fix, fuses start blowing up inside your head. Stuff shoots out your ears. I mean, you just can't fathom how much money that is. And what are we going to do with it? Oh, we're going to give it to nations that hate us. We're going to give it to illegals. I mean, you just name it. That's what they're going to do with it. Typical socialist stuff. And I am completely convinced that those running the country today, Democrat and Republican in many cases, they're purposely doing this ignorant stuff led by the devil just to weaken our nation and to destroy America, so that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, there will be little to no opposition to implement his takeover of the world. One of our church members sent me a story yesterday about the Euphrates River drying up. Have y'all seen that? Oh, no, of course not. But it is.
Not in the news, huh?
Not in the news. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't that be in the news? Well, it might be because it's mentioned in the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
As something that's going to happen after the rapture takes place. Folks, don't you think for a minute they don't know what's in this Bible. They know exactly what's in this Bible. You say, well, I don't think you ought to say anything about politics from the pulpit. Well, let me tell you something, Christian. Our eternal enemy, the devil, uses politics to destroy nations. And that's what he's doing to our beloved country. The Antichrist will follow Satan's lead by using policy or politics to accomplish his ends. I don't have time for this, but go over to Daniel.
Amen.
Go over to Daniel for just a minute. The book of Daniel, and look at chapter 8. Daniel, channel 8. That'll help you find it, won't it? All right, look at verse... I'll wait on you, I'm sorry. Daniel, chapter 8. All right, everybody got it? All right, look please, if you will, at verse 24. Verse 24, talking here now about the Antichrist who is coming. Daniel says, and his, what's the next word? Power shall be what?
Mighty.
But not by his own power. He shall what? Destroy wonderfully. In other words, people are going to sit around and go, wow, how did he do that? Man, well, that was slick. But that's what politicians do. Slick. They do slick. They do it well. And shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his what?
Policy.
Oh, policy. You know what policy is? That's politic.
Yep.
And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. In other words, the Lord's going to win. Now, I know it's not going to win me Mr. Congeniality Preacher of the Year Award. To say so. To say what I'm about to say, anyway.
Preach it, Pastor, preach it.
But there are just so many dumb. Dumb.
Right.
Dumb things that our government does. Listen, folks, I love you, I love you. They must be doing this stuff on purpose.
Yep. Yes, I think so. Amen.
They're certainly not led of the Lord to do what they're doing. They have got to be doing all of this stuff on purpose with the goal to do what the devil must do, and that's weaken the nations. Again, everything that this administration touches turns into chaos. The border, millions of undocumented people just flying in here. If you work for the federal government, you've got to be vaccinated or you're going to lose your job. However, they're letting millions in unvaccinated and nobody cares about them. That's policy. That's policy. I mean, folks, listen, bringing in unvetted Afghanis. Now, I think we ought to help them. Don't get me wrong. Those who helped us, we ought to help them. I think it's a shame that they were left over there to die. And still are. But what they're doing with all these people that they're bringing into the country is flying them many times into the most conservative parts of the country, and that's being done on purpose. Spending insane amount of money to cause inflation. They know that spending money that you don't have causes inflation. They know that. They're not, they are. Yeah, they are. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But I mean, folks, they're on a track to spend $10 trillion in 4 years. $10 trillion. They better oil the presses down there is all I can say. Because you're going to have to print that money. And when you print that money, you're just going to weaken the dollar. And that's exactly what the devil wants. This is the one I don't understand. $85 billion of advanced weaponry left behind so that the Taliban will be one of the most well-equipped armies in the world. Had to be on purpose. Had to be. I mean, you don't do that by, you don't do that and then go, whoops. But notice that the day is coming, folks, according to our text, when the Lord will overcome all the powers in the world. And let me remind you, remember that Herod family I talked about in the beginning? They're gone. They're gone. G-O-N-E gone. Do you remember those degenerate Caesars that ran Rome? They're gone. Yeah. They stood up and persecuted Christians and threw them in the dungeons to starve to death and die and be eaten by rats. They threw them in the arena to be entertainment when they turned the lions loose on them. They threw them, innocent men, threw them into an arena to fight a gladiator. Yeah, right, that's going to work. And they were slaughtered to the cheers and jeers of a bunch of heathen people. And I'm telling you, folks, they're gone. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, gone. And one of these days, the United Nations is going to be gone. And one of these days, America and Russia and China and Iran and Turkey and Saudi Arabia, they're all going to be gone. And the only one who is going to be seated on the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem will be the Lord Jesus Christ, who will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Amen. That's our Savior, folks. Now, I know there's a lot of animosity today, but hey, cheer up, man. Jesus is coming. And we're on the winning side. We've read the back of the book and we know how it all turns out. So let's just get excited about living for the Lord. What are they going to do to you? Send you to heaven? They going to send you to heaven? Can't scare me with heaven. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved? All right, let's pray. The nations against God. Wow. Boy, we're seeing it, aren't we? Folks, we got to be close. We have to be close. Is your house in order? We have to be close. Is your house in order? Are you saved? You ready to go? Father in heaven, I pray that you will speak to our hearts today. We ask the Holy Spirit of God to work in our midst and help us to realize the battle and the struggle that's happening. And Father, in this world that we live in today, there is so much animosity towards you. But Father, help us as the people of God to love you and to not let all this animosity dampen our spirit or cause us to slow up in any fashion or in any way. But Father, help us just to stay on fire for you. Father, I pray that you'll speak to hearts today. If there is even one person in this room who is not 100% sure they're saved, may today be the day of salvation for that soul. Bless us now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.